this morning. Amen. God is here, and God has something just for you today, so be ready to receive from Him. Amen.
Amen.
And it's all good, isn't it?
Amen.
God is a good God. Praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock, and we just want to welcome every one of you today. And if this is your first time at Oasis, we'd just like for you to raise your hand so our ushers can give you a card. Okay, and let's just give everybody a welcome this morning.
Praise
with
God.
A hand clap.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. And before I turn over to Pastor, I just want to speak a word of blessing over you. So be ready to receive what God has for you this
Amen.
Morning. I declare that God's blessings are over your life. I declare you will see an explosion of God's goodness, a sudden widespread increase. You will experience the surpassing greatness of God's favor. It will elevate you to a level higher than you ever dreamed of. Explosive blessings are coming your way. I declare you will experience God's faithfulness like never before. You will give birth to every promise God has put in your heart, and you will become everything God has created you to be. I declare your life is marked for excellence and integrity. God is directing your steps. He works every situation and circumstance for your good. God has the solution for every problem you will ever face. I declare unexpected blessings come to you. God's abundance surrounds you. You have more than enough.
Yes.
God opens doors for you that no man can shut.
Yes.
God is adding exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond favor and increase in every area of your life.
Yes.
In Jesus'
yes.
name.
Yes.
Give Him a hand.
Glory
to
God.
This morning.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. He has great things in store for you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. I turn over to Pastor.
At this time, I would like to call Karen up. I thought she slumped over and she wasn't coming up. I thought she's hiding back there somewhere. And the reason I called Karen up is I want her to show. We had the art class. Pastor Sharon had an art class a few weeks ago. And we wanted to show some of the fruits of this art class. We got Karen has got really on fire about painting now. And she has painted six. She's painted six paintings, counting the one at the art class. Mm-hmm. And this is what we hoped would happen mm-hmm. with the art class. That mm-hmm. you know, because there are giftings and there are things in yeah. you, and it brings satisfaction to do these things.
That's
and we
right.
felt like that God wanted us to do that, or wanted her to do it. And I want you to show your paintings.
Let's see. My first one.
Let me help you.
Yeah.
At the art class.
I will be your assistant.
So that was my first one. And it was so much fun, y'all. I mean, and what
fun.
I found is that it is now, it's like a stress reliever.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Like, instead of watching TV, and there's just like nothing on TV mm-hmm. at the time, it's just so good to just get in there and just start painting. And your focus, I mean, just, mm-hmm. it just takes
That's
you
right.
away from
mm-hmm.
everything.
Amen.
Good
and then
for you.
The second one that I did at home was this one.
That's so pretty.
And you know, I got a little bit of inspiration from Pinterest. You can just mm-hmm. like look at other people's stuff
mm-hmm.
and then just kind of
get inspired.
Yeah.
Get inspired.
So that was my third one.
Uh-huh. Beautiful. Beautiful.
And then my fourth one was this. And then my last one, well, not the last one, my the last one that I've got with me is this one here.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is already, my sister-in-law already wants this one, so this goes mm-hmm. to her next week. And then I did a bluebird on a branch for somebody mm-hmm. at work yesterday that was
beautiful.
Blown away, and I gave it as a gift, so see, you can even give them
That's
as gifts.
Fine.
So I got two already given to as gifts, so y'all mm-hmm. come to the art class, because it was so much fun. We're going to have mm-hmm. another one. And it is a lot
yes.
of fun.
Amen.
It will,
yes.
you, it will inspire you.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Sharon.
You're welcome. Awesome
Amen.
Job. Awesome.
And Pastor Sharon is having another art class in November.
Oh,
The day is going
to
be announced.
I told Pastor, I said, anybody can learn to paint, and he did not believe that.
Mm-mm,
but now
I didn't.
He's a believer.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I am. I was very skeptical.
Seeing is believing.
I thought you had to have a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
but
your
you
gift is already, God's already got giftings in you, mm-hmm, that you don't even know he's got in you. And then you use the gift by, mm-hmm, training. Mm-hmm. Training brings out the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the teachers that are here, the hearing of the word and the studying of the word, mm-hmm, has brought out the teaching gifts.
That's
there are
right.
many gifts in this body, many different diversity of gifts. Gifts we've not even seen yet, and, mm-hmm, and we will see. But, mm-hmm, you know, this is just one of the things we just thought would be a great blessing to the church, and,
mm-hmm,
and it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Amen.
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 Great job.
Amen. We got a couple of announcements before we get into the message this morning. One is next Sunday. Everybody say next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Teen Challenge will be here.
Teen Challenge will be here.
So that's next Sunday morning in the Sunday morning service. The ladies from Teen Challenge will be here and giving their testimonies and singing for us. Mm-hmm. And we'll have our regular praise and worship, but they'll also be probably doing a song for us or something.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a great time to invite people to come, because the Teen Challenge, those testimonies are so powerful. Yeah. They've been through so much. And if you've ever been in one of these services, you know it's a special service.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to invite you all to come and invite your friends and relatives. And it seemed like there was... tonight we have a fellowship dinner. I think it's pasta. So that's tonight. We want you all to come. Natasha, I have not forgot you. I think you've been praying that I would forget you, but I'm not going to forget you. At the very end of the service this morning, Natasha, Pastor Sharon's going to call up Natasha to give us the word about the importance of coming to fellowship dinners and fellowshipping. So y'all be ready. It might be you next time. No, she knew. We had already told her. Okay, praise God. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. Father, we thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you for revelation knowledge. Father, I thank you that your word comes alive to us today. And it drops down into our spirit and it changes us forever. We have a revelation, revealed knowledge quickened to us this day from your word. We see things we've never seen. We hear things we've never heard. And we hear them in a new way this day. And it drops in our spirit. And we thank you for it, Father God. Help me deliver this word accurately. Pastor Sharon, deliver it accurately this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Ask if you will to get your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 12. And I'm actually going to read just a portion of Romans 12 for the sake of time with both of us ministering today. But Romans 12 and 3, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So that's every one of us has been dealt a measure of faith. Now, that word measure in the Greek is metron. So everybody gets the exact same measure of faith when it's dealt out. Now, some people have more faith than other people, but they got that by hearing the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can increase, and I can increase my level of faith by hearing the word and putting the word into practice in our life. Romans 1 and 17 says the righteous shall live by faith. Galatians 3 and 11 says the same thing, the righteous shall live by faith. Hebrews 10 and 38 says, but my righteous one shall live by faith. So all through the Word of God, it's talking about living by faith. And we've been given a measure of faith by God. So God is instructing us to live our lives by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to overcome obstacles in our life by faith. Use your faith to pay your bills. Use your faith to be able to go on vacation. Use your faith against pain in your body. Use your faith to do your daily activities. Use your faith to receive strength in your body. Use your faith for whatever you need. Maybe you need a car or house or a washer, dryer, tires, tools, clothes. Use your faith to believe for those things that you need. Use your faith to believe for increase beyond what you earn with your own hands. Hang on. Use your faith to believe for increase beyond what you can earn with your own hands. Use your faith over your bills. Use your faith for your job. If you're self-employed, use your faith to get work to do. If you're in sales, use your faith for an increase in the number of sales you are making. If you own a business, use your faith for more customers to come to your business. If you're having work done and you have an estimate, use your faith for it to come in under what's estimated that it would be. Use your faith, and you may say today, well, I'm on a fixed income. I can't use my faith with anything concerning my income. I only have Social Security income. I assure you, God has got many ways, if you use your faith, to get money to you, extra money to you, if you'll use your faith. He'll give you an impression. He'll show you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. You and I use our faith like a tool. Whatever problems we're facing, put your faith up against the problems. You need money for gas? Use your faith. Pray about it and release your faith that God will supply the money that you need for gas. Use your faith for money to pay that bill. Use your faith for favor for an extension of when the bill is due. Use your faith for favor for a raise. Use your faith for a better car or a better house or better furniture. Now, we play these tithing testimonies a lot around here on Sunday mornings, and one of the funniest tithing testimonies I've ever heard, we've played it over and over and it's just hilarious to me, is this very young couple. They're a young married couple. They have a small child. She's maybe a year old, year and a half old. And the guy is talking about, you know, they're in school and they have very limited money at this point in time. They've got so much going on and with the baby and everything too. And said that, so they were believing the baby didn't have socks. And they were believing for socks for the baby. And they started praying about socks because that's the biggest need that was facing them. They were praying about socks. And the guy was just talking about how they went to a relative's house and this relative said, before they ever said anything, said, I want to give you some stuff for the baby. And it was tons of socks. And then it was tons of clothes that would last the baby over the next year. She'd be totally clothed and everything. And he was talking about, all I asked for was socks. And I got much more than I needed. I got clothes for over a year. Because God, you know, they used their faith and God met them at the point of their faith. And he's pleased by that. Hebrews 11:6 in the CEV says, but without faith, no one can please God. We must believe that God is real and that He rewards everyone who searches for Him. So it pleases God when we use our faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I read this about Jerry Savelle and Kenneth Copeland. I've never seen this before. It says that when Jerry Savelle started working for Kenneth Copeland. Jerry Savelle's an evangelist, preaches all over the world, and Brother Copeland, I'm sure you've heard of Kenneth Copeland, ministers all over the world. When they first started out, Jerry was working for Brother Copeland, and they have very meager things or whatever. They have hardly have anything, and they had, anyway, Brother Copeland, he does have a plane because he's flying all over the place, and he goes to Jerry, and he says, Jerry, he said, I want you to paint my plane. Plane needs painting very bad. And Jerry is fixing to get out of his mouth. He doesn't know anything about, I've never done that before. I don't know anything about painting a plane. Brother Copeland reached over before Jerry could open his mouth, laid his hands on Jerry's forehead and said, you have the mind of Christ. Don't ask me how to do it. Don't tell me you can't do it. You have the mind of Christ. Do it. And that's what he told him. And Jerry was like, oh my God, I got to paint a plane. And I got to figure out how to paint this plane. Because the man of God just said, I'm going to paint a plane. So he looked up, he went to the library and looked up stuff about painting a plane. And he said he painted his first plane. And he said if he had to say so himself, it was a really good job. But he used his faith to paint that plane. Said another time, Brother Jerry's in the office and the secretary said to him, the copy machine doesn't work. Then she asked him, is there anything he could do to fix it? He said, I don't know anything about copy machines. About that time, Brother Copeland walked in. And the secretary told him the copier won't work. He reached over and laid his hands on Brother Jerry's forehead. He said, you have the mind of Christ. Jesus knows how to fix this. And you have His mind, you fix it. Don't ask me how. Don't tell me you can't. You have the mind of Christ. Then he left. Brother Jerry went in there having no idea of anything to do with a copy machine. And he said he started praying in the Spirit. And he said he started taking the copy machine apart. He said he took everything off the copy machine, took the copy machine down to the floor with all of the parts laying in the floor. And he's praying in the Spirit and he's declaring he has the mind of Christ. He said he completely stripped it, laid it in the floor, then he put it back together. Now, he reaches over, he cuts the copy machine on, it works perfectly. He has no idea what he did. And then he happens to notice, he looks around and there were some parts that he didn't put back in. And he told Brother Copeland, he knew what was wrong with it. It had too many parts originally. I just thought that was hilarious. Our problem is, we tell the Lord what we don't know and why we can't do it. And that short circuits the power of God. So how could you use your faith? If you're believing God for a car, a new one or a better one, how could you use your faith? Is there any action on your part you could do that is a faith action? Yeah, go to the car lot. Go online. Look in the newspaper. Look for a car. I know Benjamin, when he was 15, he was almost 16. He had his learners and he was just a couple of weeks away from being 16. He had told us, we told him we were going to buy him whatever he wanted, used, whatever he wanted, you know, within reason, whatever he wanted. And so he gave us this list. He wanted a black Ford Ranger with low miles, and he had this, you know, because we really taught a lot back then about lists. We need to do it some more as the Lord leads us. But he gave a specific list. We looked for this vehicle all around here, and we couldn't find it. We went on vacation, and we're believing that we're going to see this vehicle. We're going to find this vehicle for him before, you know, his birthday or whatever. And we go on vacation, and we're driving down the main thing of Gatlinburg, and actually it was Pigeon Forge. And as we're going by, there's a truck, a black Ford Ranger truck, newer model. It's got a, you know, for sale sign in the window. And I said, actually Benjamin told us. He said, did you see it? And I said, no, I didn't. And he said, turn around. So we turned around and we went back. And it was there, and it was the guy in the Chinese restaurant. It was sitting all by itself. The guy in the Chinese restaurant had it. And we talked to him about it. We got a God deal on this vehicle. I'm talking about, it was unbelievable. He needed to sell it. We needed to buy it. He sold it. We bought it. Okay. Benjamin had that vehicle for 3 years. Then he totaled it out. I'm trying to tell you something here. Benjamin totaled it out. Coming to church one night, he fell asleep, and he crossed over the lane and flipped it and totaled it out. Okay. Not a scratch on Benjamin. He was perfectly, not a scratch. But when the insurance company went to write the check, they wrote the check for much, much more 3 years later. Three years later than we originally bought it. We made money, a lot of money, on the truck that because we got such a good deal on it. He drove it for 3 years and we still got more money for it. But when you use your faith, God will honor your faith. Our church, you know, we've got the sprinkler system, and I'm believing that they've done the last leg this week. I'm pretty sure that's it. We've got to check with them to make sure. But I believe they did the last leg other than what we've got to do for this part over here. I believe the city is finishing up or just finished up what they were doing. And y'all know, as a church, we've given water wells for several years now. In because we needed water here at the church, so we've been sowing water wells overseas. Matter of fact, it's just got another one in the mail from CBN. He just hung it up over on the other side. No, it's on the table. Okay, it's on the table. Okay, whichever table, but it's on the table back here somewhere. Okay, I believe you. It's on the table. Glory to God. I believe you. Okay, but another water well somewhere that we've paid for. You have paid for. by your generous giving, and that's several water wells that we've sown in places that didn't have water. And now we have water for our sprinkler system. Use your faith. Use your faith for a parking spot. Use your faith for groceries. Use your faith for better work hours. I've said it over and over. When I worked at the factory, I used my faith to get a first shift job. And you couldn't get a first shift job there because seniority was the king. You had to have the seniority to get it. And I prayed for it. I believed for it. I confessed it. I confessed it for 4.5 months. I told everybody that I had it. I stood on John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. The literal translation of that is, even if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. They created at my job 5 new jobs. And I told them, I said, I got number 5. I said, I got it. I got one of those jobs. They said, no, you don't. You don't have seniority to get it. They started turning the jobs down. People would get them. They got the 4 jobs. They're waiting on the 5th one. And it's going through people, going through people, going through people. I said, that's my job. It's going to keep going through people until it gets to me. And it did. I got that 5th job. They created all those 5 jobs to get me that job. Because even if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. Use your faith. Use your faith. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory
Praise
to God.
God. Praise God. Awesome word. Amen. Awesome, awesome word. We have to use our faith for just about anything that we are believing God for. And so I just want to add to what Pastor said. I had a job that I had gotten several years ago. Somehow, they hired me and somebody else for the same job. And so they were like, we're going to have to let, telling me they're going to have to let me go. I said, You already hired me. So they created a job for me. A position that had never been in that company before. They created it just for me. So that was God, wasn't it? It was God. Amen. My part of what I'm going to minister this morning is obey. Use your faith and obey. Okay? Let's begin in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by God. Now it said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Noah had not seen any of the things that God had warned him of. But it says that Noah moved with fear. That is reverence, honoring God. So God told Noah he was going to send a flood to wipe out the earth because of the corruption of man. And so Noah hadn't even seen rain before. He hadn't even ever heard of rain before. Up until that time, there had never been rain before. Amen? But by faith, Noah obeyed God. Amen? And now let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Talking about Noah and the flood. Genesis chapter 6. And verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, Noah walked with God. That means he knew God, amen? He walked with him. And this wasn't just a hit and miss relationship. He walked with him. He walked with God so closely that he knew the voice of God, amen? And he reverently obeyed God's voice by faith. And that's the thing, is what we have to do is to move out by faith. Just walk by faith and not by sight. When we hear God's voice, just trust and obey. Amen. Noah pleased God. And he talked to God and God talked to him. You mean you hear God's voice? You mean God talks to you? That's just weird. No, that should be a regular thing. That should be your lifestyle. God talks to you and you hear God's voice. Amen? I heard somebody say just this week that 50% of prayer is us talking to God and the other 50% is us listening to God. Amen? So it's not a one-way conversation. That's how we walk to God with God. We commune with Him on a regular basis, amen. We know God's voice. We know when He speaks to us, amen. So God told Noah to build an ark before he ever saw the rain. Now, it didn't make sense, you know, but Noah didn't question it. He didn't reason it away. He just obeyed by faith. How many times do we reason things away, you know? We hear God's voice. We know what God has told us to do, and we just start reasoning away. We try to figure it out. And that's with all of us. That's something that we have to work on a daily basis. I know several years ago, the Lord told me to give my clothes away. And what the situation was there was a family that had their apartment had burned down. And I heard the Lord tell me, give your clothes to them. So here I was. Now, a woman's clothes is very important to her, isn't it? Amen? Amen. We like our clothes. Amen. Amen. We don't want to be like the children wandering around in the desert, the Israelites. Well, we wear the same outfit for 40 years. We have to have different outfits that we change into. Amen? And periodically, we have to have new clothes that we change into. So I went to my closet, and as I felt the Holy Spirit, I take clothes out. I take something else out. And I take something else out. And before I knew it, only had a handful of clothes left in my closet. Now, God knows how precious those clothes were to me. Amen. So here I was with just a handful of clothes. But I tell you the truth, I didn't worry about it. I didn't question it. I didn't say, God, what am I going to wear? I mean, I only had a handful of clothes. You know, what am I going to do? But I obeyed God by faith. Amen. I just did what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And so it didn't take long. It was just a short period of time that one day Pastor and I got a call from his mother. And she said, my niece has given some of her clothes away. Do you think Sharon would want them? And Pastor very quickly said, yes. This was just a couple of weeks later. And so she sends us the clothes. Now, this was not just a little bit of clothes. It was a box that stood about this tall and this wide, and it was slap full of clothes. Wow. Amen? And so I'm going through them clothes, and a lot of them still had the tags on them. They had never been worn. They were nice, very, very, very nice clothes, top-of-the-line clothes, amen, name brands. And so I tried them on, and they all fit perfectly. Amen. Praise God. That was God. He replenished my closet 2 weeks after I obeyed His voice, amen, after I stepped out by faith. See, it's by faith. We have to do it by faith. We're not going to see the end from the beginning of what God's telling us to do. We just have to obey like Noah by faith. Praise God. And so I was happy and Pastor was happy. Praise God. He could just see me going out shopping, having to refill my closet. Glory to God. God will supply, amen. But how many times do we miss a blessing because we don't obey by faith? Because we don't trust God. And here's another thought for you this morning, just to kind of chew on. What if Noah had not obeyed God by faith? Would we be here today? Amen? It is important to obey God's voice. It is important to step out in faith. Now, God had given Noah very specific instructions on building the ark. And let's look down in chapter 6 of Genesis 2, verse 22. It says, "Thus did Noah, according to all," everybody say all, "according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Now, a lot of times when we are praying about something, we hear God's voice, and we'll think, "Oh, okay, I'll do that, God." But then we have to help God out. We think we know a good way to take care of the situation. You know, we have reasoned it out. We have thought about this thing. Amen. And so we help God out, and we get it in a mess, don't we? Don't help God out. Don't add to what God has spoken, amen? The direction that he's given you, the thing that he has spoken to you, amen? Don't add anything to it. Faith completely obeys God.
That's right.
It completely obeys him. You might be thinking this morning, "Well, what if I obey God by faith and I don't see anything happen?" It was 120 years from the time God spoke to Noah to build the ark until the rain came. That's a long time, people. Have we ever waited for anything for 120 years? Now, Noah had a whole lot of years to think about, "What am I doing out here building this thing? Because I've never even seen rain. What is rain?" And then all the people are criticizing him and telling him how crazy he is. But God, amen, he knew. He walked with God, and he knew that God had spoken this to him. Amen. So if you've heard from God, don't give up. If you've heard from God, don't get discouraged. Don't let go of the promise, because it's on the way. It's coming. Amen. Now, when you have made a faith commitment, you'll be tested. Amen. You won't be tested by God, but you'll be tested by the enemy.
Right.
And he'll send people across your pathway to say things that will try to bring discouragement. It's never going to happen. You might as well forget it. So you've got to stay committed. You've got to keep your commitment of faith no matter how long it takes. Amen. I promise you it'll be sooner than 120 years. So if you've been waiting a long time, God is working on a bigger plan, amen, than what you are even believing him for. He has a bigger plan in store. You know, the good news is that it will be worth the wait.
Amen.
It will be worth the wait. Now, we've been waiting to get into this new sanctuary for a long time, for years. We could have given up at any time, you know. We could have just said, "It's not working. We might as well just scratch it, just ditch it, just forget it." But we obeyed by faith what the Lord had put in our heart. Amen. And we stood and waited. And it won't be long now. Amen. It won't be long now. We'll be in our new sanctuary. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when we get in there, we'll say it was worth the wait. Amen. And I promise you this morning, whatever you're waiting for on God, it'll be worth the wait. Glory to God. Amen. It's not going to... I heard Pastor Brother Hagin say, If you're prepared to stand forever, it won't seem very long. Amen. Amen. See, we want this world that we live in now is such an instant everything. We want everything instant. Amen. But with God, it's not always instant. You don't always have to wait for years and years, but there are things that you will have to wait for. And the enemy is going to try to steal your faith. He'll try to discourage you and make you think it's never going to happen. But if God has spoken to you, hold on to your faith. Don't let go of your faith. Amen. Now, we might not always understand while we're waiting, but you know it will be worth the wait. Praise God. And patience has its rewards. It has its rewards. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Are you ready for some rewards?
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Amen? So we are going to wait on God, because God has the answer. He has the key, amen, to the prayer that you are believing God for. Patience. We don't like that word. We don't like to wait. Amen. We drive up to the Burger King or whatever fast food place, and we give our order at the speaker, and it better be ready by the time we pull around to the window. You know it's the truth. But God's not on our timetable. He's not in a hurry. Amen. He's working all things out for your good. So waiting on God, you're going to get the highest and best that God has for you. Amen. We want God's highest and best. We don't want to settle for less. We don't want to just take any old thing that comes along. Amen. Wait on God. Don't lose sight of the promise. And then I'll end with this. Verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Our God is faithful, isn't he? We serve a faithful God. Amen. God is working on your behalf. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by our circumstances. We are moved by God's word. We're moved by what God has spoken in our heart. Amen. And we're not going to waver from what God has said. Amen. Let's make a fresh commitment this morning. Just right where you are this morning, maybe there's some things that God's put in your heart. You know God spoke to you. And maybe you've got discouraged and you're thinking, well, maybe I just need to forget about that. But right where you're at this morning, let's make a fresh commitment of our faith to see the promise come to pass. Amen. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, thanking you, God, that you are a faithful God. Thanking you, Father God, that your promises are yea and amen. Father, I just declare this morning, and I just recommit this morning my faith to stand for this situation that I've been praying for but have wavered on. Forgive me, God. And Father, I make a fresh commitment, and I'll stand, Father God. I'll not settle for less. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise today.